the service was advertised as trusting God with our relationships. But I decided that I'm just going to look at trusting God, because I believe that when we learn the art of trusting God, it affects every area of our lives into relationships. I know one of the big areas that we struggle to... I was chatting to a few young adults this week, and they said one of the top five on trusting God would be with your future. And we're going to look at that in a lot more detail next week, and I'll kind of touch on relationships kind of with that next week. So tonight we're looking at just trusting God in general. And I want us to look up Matthew chapter 6, verses 25. The opposite of trusting God is worrying and anxiety. And there's plenty of sayings on the go about worrying about things. Let me just read a few while you're finding Matthew chapter 6. Charles Spurgeon wrote, he's a kind of theologian and preacher, he said, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strengths." Another person said, "Anxiety is the interest paid on trouble before it's due." Another guy said, "Anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained." Now, I don't know. Does anybody worry here? 3 people. Wow. Maybe we'll just go downstairs and do this talk amongst all 3 of us. If you're human, I'm sure worrying creeps along sometimes in your journey. I do accept that some of us worry more than others. Anxiety is a problem that I've overcome over the years. I was I worried all the time when I was a child. When I went from primary school to high school, oh my goodness, I was sick for the first year in high school because I was so anxious about absolutely everything. By the time I got to my later teenage years, God had to do some miracles in my life because I developed stomach ulcers. So I'm a living proof example of what God can do when you worry all the time. And it does affect your life. Worry is really destructive, worrying all the time, particularly if you do it full time. I wouldn't recommend it as a job because it'll make you ill or sick. A lot of people go to the doctor, and I was reading this little phrase on the internet, and said a lot of people go to the doctor and they're not really sick, they're just worried. And because they're worried, they have a lot of symptoms that make them sick. So it's really interesting. So what I want us to do tonight is I want us to just receive some teaching about what Jesus has to say about all of this. And maybe we can do a little MOT, a checklist, and see how we're doing, okay? And if you're doing really, really well, then I want you to leave tonight feeling really encouraged. And if you feel you're not doing so well, I want you to leave tonight feeling encouraged because of the words that Jesus speaks and how we don't have to go away feeling like this, because God can do stuff tonight. Do you believe that? Yeah, are you really, really up for that? I don't know if anyone's been backpacking. I had the opportunity to go to New Zealand for a year, and one of my friends that I went to school with, she lived in New Zealand and said, "Rosie, come on out. It's going to be great." So I just, off I went. And then as part of my time out there, we planned a holiday, because it was a working holiday and she was working as well. And we planned this holiday. My friend had lived in New Zealand for 5 years. She knew everything. She knew where she was going. She says, "Rosie, let's go and do the Abel Tasman." Has anybody done that trek in New Zealand? Oh, one at the back. Great, Marianne. Anyway, so it's a trek that you go into. It's a beautiful part at the top of the North Island. And it's a trek that you just walk and walk and walk, probably about 6 to 8 hours a day. And you're going into the bush. And when you finish the trek after 5 days, you have to get a water taxi back to the start. Or you can walk 5 days back to what you've just walked. So we decided we're going to do a 5-day trek. And at the end, we booked our water taxi to take us right back to the beginning. So that's all the time we had. And so we started packing our backpack. And we had all this list. Because you need everything. You know, I am quite impressed with the way that people in New Zealand do things. They do have toilets in the bush. It's incredible. You just walk past, and there's trees, there's beautiful, there's no shops or anything, and then in the middle of a forest is a portaloo. You're just like, wow, that's incredible. So before this trip, there's a lot of planning went in, and we had this list, and we'd never done anything like that before, you know, and I was just taking advice from a friend. I don't think she'd ever done it before either. And we looked at all the things we needed to get in our backpack. And, you know, your backpack's about that size, but when you're talking tent, you're talking food for 5 days, everything. And off we went, filling it all up, and then we left, and they were so heavy. Oh, my goodness, my pack was so heavy. And at the end of the trip, I could have taken probably half the things out of that pack that I didn't actually need. And looking back, there was a lot of pain. I had a really sore back. See, when it got to day four, with blisters on your feet after all the walking I was doing and uphills and downhills, it was, yeah, I could have kicked myself when I came back and looked at all these things. But you know, sometimes that's what it's like in a journey. We were just carrying things that we don't need to carry. And maybe tonight we can look and get some words from Jesus so that we can learn to put down the things that God doesn't want us to carry, so that we can live life a little bit lighter. So Matthew chapter, did I say 5, 6? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Okay, it says, therefore, which means it's following on from the passage before. I don't know if any of you were here last week when I was speaking about money, about worrying for money. So we're moving on from that, but still being mindful of what Jesus is teaching. This little passages about the Sermon on the Mount, okay, this is a whole bunch of chapters put together with just teaching after teaching after teaching that Jesus gave. And a lot of people say this is teaching that just sets you up for life, just sets you up for your discipleship. Great words of wisdom, great things to help us, great advice. And here we've got, right in the middle of this little section, do not be anxious. Jesus did know what he was talking about. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles ask after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your words. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us to be the men and women that you've called us to be. And show us tonight how to get rid of this big obstacle that just stops us enjoying life. Speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. If I could say maybe two things, just as an overview of what this passage is looking at. The first one would be, there's more to life than what we're worrying about. Just simple. There's more to life than what we're worrying about. And the second one is, if God takes care of his creation, then surely he's going to take care of his children. So as we're just going through our talk tonight, I just want you to think of these two little things in the background. When we look at worry and anxiety, Jesus was probably the most qualified person to speak on this subject. Because when he walked this earth, he truly demonstrated what it was to be a man of peace and what it was to be a teacher who didn't worry about things and demonstrated that God was always in control. So as part of our little checklist tonight, okay, I want to mention maybe three things that worry reveals about our lives. And maybe we can kind of tick it off or check it off as we're going and see how we're doing. Okay, the first one is worry reveals our helplessness. When we look at verses 26 to 29, we're talking about how God looks after the birds. Birds don't go around saving up food and building a nest and storing it all up. You know, each day is a brand new day. And they just go and find what they need for that day. Even if we come to this season of spring, I think we're kind of in between spring and summer, there's birds' nests just been in our area, and particularly when I'm dog walking, you can see all these birds' nests. And just recently, just outside our back door, my little doggies keep bringing in sticks. Like, where are you getting these sticks? I realise there's a bird building a nest in our loft. Keeps dropping things but can't fit through the hole. But, you know, God cares about the birds, so surely he's going to take care of us. And each day, they always find food. And then when we think about the flowers that are put on display for us all to see, when we come into spring, we see the daffodils, we see the snowdrops. I don't know if you take note of these things. When we come into summer and you go to parks and people spend hours planting all these beautiful things that we can just go and that we can enjoy. And, you know, and these things can be dead instantly. It just takes a bike to roll over a flower or just trample on something and it's just dead, gone. Then another one pops up somewhere else. And here we have this whole array of beauty for us to enjoy. And God puts all that there for us to enjoy and for us to see his beauty. It's like a big display. But God cares about these things. How much more will he care about us? Worry reveals our helplessness. I don't know if you like to be in control. Sometimes when we don't feel in control, that's when we worry. Because we want to have it so that we can be in control. I was watching the program the other night there. One born every minute. Has anyone else seen that? Is it just me watching these crazy programs? It's quite amusing, actually, watching all these women have babies. I don't watch it every week. It was just a one-off. And they tell you all these, like, lots of women and couples respond in different ways to their baby's been born. And, it's quite entertaining. But there was this one particular couple that were on just last week. And, you know, they tell you a little bit about the family. And when you're watching the program, you feel as though you're getting to know them and journeying with them what's got them to this stage of having this beautiful, lovely little baby. And then they started to share their story that something was actually wrong when they went for their 12-week scan. That the bowel of the baby was outside of the body. And so the doctors did loads of scans and said, look, we think everything's okay apart from this. We're just going to carry on the pregnancy as normal and we'll just keep an eye on things and we'll take loads of scans and monitor everything all the way through. And obviously this was her coming into hospital. And they were just talking about their fears and the things that they were worrying about. Because the doctor said this baby's got a 95% chance of survival. And there was nothing they could do to change this situation. And the doctor was sitting down with the couple saying, I want you to know this is not your fault. This is nothing that anyone could, because it's happened because of this. These are things we just don't know why they happen. But one of the things we do know is that we'll give this baby the best chance of life. So they started to explain to the couple everything that was going to happen when the baby was born. If you can just try your hardest to have a stress-free labour. They took the baby to full term because they wanted the baby to have as much nutrients as possible so that when they performed this operation to put the bowel back into the baby, that the baby would have the best chance. And so you got to watch everything. It was just incredible. So the baby was born and its bowel was outside and the surgeons were all there and they wrapped the middle of the baby with the bowel in cling film before it went off to the theatre. And just the incredible bravery of this couple was just amazing. And they said, all we can do is just wait. You know, they'd known from the 12-week scan that this was the situation. But all they could do was wait. No amount of worrying was going to change the situation. But it was just about waiting. Worry reveals our helplessness. And sometimes in that situation, we just have to wait. And like this passage tells us, it's just one day at a time. Another thing that worrying reveals is how much we actually trust God. Verse 30, This is quite strong words coming from Jesus. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Have you ever had someone say that to you? Oh, you of little faith. Sometimes it can be quite offensive. You know, these are really strong words coming from Jesus because he wants these people to get it. Worrying is not part of God's plan. He wants you to have the faith, to believe, to trust him. There's two beliefs that stand in the way of us trusting God. One, we don't believe God is good. And the other is we don't believe God is good to us. And I don't know if you've ever believed two of those false kind of statements over your life. Good things only happen to other people, particularly when we're experiencing pain or we're experiencing suffering. And what do we do in a situation like this? I want you to remember. Turn to Psalm 106, Psalm 106. Let me read it to you. Here the psalmist is talking about what God has done, remembering what God has done, but also remembering when we don't always get it right. Psalm 106. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Do you believe that? God is good. Turn around to the person next to you and say, God is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let's read a wee bit more, okay? Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? There is joy for those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come near and rescue me. Let me share in the prosperity of your chosen ones. Let me rejoice in the joy of your people. Let me praise you with those who are your heritage. Like our ancestors, we have sinned and we have done wrong. We have acted wickedly. Our ancestors in Egypt were not impressed by the Lord's miraculous deeds. They soon forgot his many acts of kindness. Instead, they rebelled against him at the Red Sea. And the psalm goes on to talk about that journey, which a lot of us will know, about the story of the Israelites and how God redeemed them and how he set them free from the slavery that they were in. God is good. And when we find we're coming into a situation where we're thinking we don't have a lot of faith and we're worrying about something, we need to remember that not only is God good, but God is good to us. And how do we really believe that? We look back and take note of all the things that God has done for us. Do you write things down when you pray and God answers? I tell you, God's done some big stuff in my life. I don't need to write it down because I can't forget it. It's big. God is good. I can stand here with all my heart and declare that. His love endures forever. When I struggle sometimes, I want to remember that. And I really encourage you tonight to remember. Worry reveals how much we trust God. If you want to trust him more and you want to give him everything, remember Psalm 106. Turn around to the person next to you. Remember Psalm 106. See if you say something three times, you remember it. Say it three times. Psalm 106. Go home and meditate on it this week. And the most incredible part at the beginning of this psalm, it's praise and it's worship, okay? When we come into a situation and we think, I'm really struggling and I don't know which way to go and I'm worrying and there's lots of anxiety, just praise and just worship God and declare that God is good. And I tell you, you'll see your faith rising a little bit each day. Worry reveals our helplessness. But in the waiting, it's just one day at a time. Worry reveals how much we do or don't trust God. but we trust by remembering what God has done. And the last point I want to bring out tonight is worrying reveals our priorities. Let's look at verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are you worrying about? Have a wee think. Let's just pause. Just some thoughts in your mind. What are you worrying about at the moment? What's bothering you? And then I want to take that and just park it there, because we're going to go back there. When we look at our priorities, this passage says it all. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Really, really powerful words. What does that look like? Well, the prayer conference that we've had all weekend, if you've been there, you would have been really blessed. I loved Friday night. Friday night was about intercession. It was about worshipping God and just praising God and praying for our nation, praying for our communities, praying for our families. God, what are you? Wanting us to get involved in? God, what is your heart? I want that. God, what are the things, the desires that you want to place in my heart? Sometimes we worry about things and we just go off on our own tangent and we just go our own way. Even as Christians, we do it all the time. What is his priorities? What does seeking his kingdom look like? It's praying, it's worship, it's house group, it's prayer meetings. It's doing community together. It's coming to church. But it's also hanging out with our neighbours. It's hanging out with our friends. Spending time with others. Being and coming alongside the needy. Discovering what our gifts are. God, I want to seek your kingdom. I desire that more than anything. Do you desire that? Seeking first his kingdom. As we go deeper into prayer and intercession and studying his word, we learn so much about God's heart for his kingdom. Seeking his kingdom takes our agenda and just pushes it to the side and makes God's agenda be the most important thing in our lives. And guess what happens to the worries? This is brilliant. I love this wee phrase. So if you've got a pen, you can write it down. Concern yourself with the Father's business, and he will concern yourself. He will concern himself with yours. Isn't that great? Concern yourself with the Father's business, and he will concern himself with yours. I remember when I just had a year where God was doing a lot of restoration work in my life. I think I was about 18. And you know, I didn't have it all together. There was loads of things going on. But I just thought, well, how can I get involved? And there was a wee old man in our church. And I thought, do you know what? I've got another guy who was similar age to myself. Let's go and visit wee George Arridge. And you know, we did this for a year before I left Dunoon, this little village that I grew up in. And wee George Arridge, he was a man who was just a little bit simple. That's probably the best way to describe him. Loved life, but he was institutionalised. I don't know if any of you have heard of Lennox Castle. It's a place outside Glasgow where a long, long time ago, I don't know dates and things like that, a lot of people were just removed from society and put into an institution and were abused. And he'd come from this background. And then the place got shut down when people realised what was going on. And all George needed to do was be put in supporting accommodation. And we've got lots of places, even in Stirling, for people who need support. And he used to come to our church every week. He just loved Jesus, just loved people. But he didn't have anything, didn't have any family, didn't have much stuff. He just lived in this wee room, and we used to go and visit him every week. I mean, his room smelled so bad. But, you know, he knew we were coming every week, so he tidied up the room. I'm sure there was mouldy cakes at the bottom of the wardrobe. And sometimes the smell was so bad, we'd be like, George, we need to open the windows. And that was okay. You know, we put up with the smell. We just put up with it because we wanted to hang out with him for an hour and a half every week. We used to eat around chips, curry and chips, Thursday night. I wouldn't do that now because I'm quite healthy. But anyway, not then. But I remember one of the Christmas parties, you know, I just watched this wee old man. He used to laugh so much. His false teeth would fall out and just go flying across the floor. But, you know, our church just cared for him. And that is what seeking God's kingdom is about, that we just care for each other and just love each other. Is that our priorities? Worrying reveals our priorities. What are you worrying about? Concern yourself with your Father's business, and he will concern himself with your business. I told you a story at the beginning of my little backpacking adventure to New Zealand. But wait till I finish it. It's absolutely brilliant. Day 4 into the journey, okay? These backpacks, I had blisters. We were moaning quite a lot, me and my friend. and we saw these people walking the opposite way. Now, there's no roads. You're in the middle of nowhere. We've just walked from civilization for 4 days. Where are these people walking with no backpacks? And what was it? This woman made this little comment as she saw us. Oh, love, you guys look terrible. Those backpacks must be so heavy. And we said, yeah. He said, oh, you should have got the water taxis to carry them. We're like, the water taxis? What? Honestly, we were kicking ourselves. We had another 4 hours to go till we reached the campsite. And we did everything we could to find out about water taxis. And they said, oh, yeah, you just pay $10 and the water taxis carry your backpacks for you. And they drop them off at each location. And I was like, I tell you, we were just delighted. We had one more day to walk before we were ready to go back. I felt like the weight of these backpacks was kind of ruining our holiday. So the next morning we were up half earlier than everybody else, and we were at the beach with our bags in front of us waiting on the water taxis. Because it wasn't pre-booked, we were hoping they would just go ahead and take our bags. And as soon as the water taxis arrived, we said, oh, we'll give you $10, $15, $20. Can you take our packs to the next location? They said, that's fine. And honestly, we never laughed so much on that last walk. We walked 8 hours. The blisters, we didn't care about the blisters anymore. We had no backpacks. And everyone we banged into were like, oh, did you hear about the water taxis? They can carry your backpacks for you. We had a whole day of just pure bliss and joy and laughter. You know, our backs still ached after the 4 days of carrying these backpacks, but we didn't care. We just didn't care. And, you know, and that's what worrying does to you. It's like carrying a backpack. It weighs you down so much so that you just stop enjoying life. And that's not what God's got planned for us. I know life is hard, and I know it's not easy. But trusting God with whatever it is that we're worrying about is a much better option than carrying it ourselves. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Is that what you want? Verse 34 in the verse in Matthew's Gospel that we've just read says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. I'm just going to ask you the same question as what I asked at the beginning. How are you doing? How are you doing? Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your words. Lord, you wrote so much in Scripture about trusting you. Because you know, God, that we find that hard sometimes. And God, for those who are doing really well and who are really trust in you this week, today, tonight. Father, I pray that you will use these people to encourage others and to come alongside others who are maybe not doing so well. And for those that feel they're not doing so well tonight, God, I pray that you will just come and take all the baggage. If you want God to do that for you tonight, I just want you to put your hands out in front of you. Just put your hands out in front of you as an invitation for the Holy Spirit just to come and minister to you tonight. And just give God each worry. Father, you know the heart of everyone here. And Lord, we give you all the things that are bothering us, the things that keep us awake at night, the anxiety, the worries. And Lord, I ask that you will help us to trust you. That you will help us to remember that you are good and that your love endures forever. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.